Well, I want to take this next couple of minutes to share with you. Yesterday, I was just like, okay, Lord, Easter, what do you want me to talk about? Such a beautiful day. Without Easter, we have nothing. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. A lot of people wants to identify with the glory of God. You know, it's like the glory of Jesus, the beautiful aspect of Jesus. But something we fail to understand is, or forget sometimes, there is no resurrection without being on the cross. There's no resurrection without being on the cross. I want to talk about what we call the complicit Christian. Complicit, is that how you say it? Complicit, you got it. My teacher, complacency. You know, complacency can be a dangerous state to be spiritually. Spiritually, we're talking about spiritually. Being in a state of complacency is to be in a state of self-focus, of stop making the effort to make life better. Now I'm talking about the spiritual aspect. There is one verse in the Bible I'm going to share it with you that scares me. And I think I'm going to bring that to your attention, and it should scare you as well. But listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14b, the last part of 14b to 21. It says, since we believe that Christ died for us, amen, we believe that. We know, as a matter of fact, Christ died for us. We also believe that we all have died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. So the question for you today. Jim, thank you for sharing that. That's a timely word. It's in my notes. Have you been born again? If this would be your last hour on earth, are you ready for death? You know, we have the crazy thing. I mean, we always think tomorrow is promised. It's like, okay, see you tomorrow. See you next Sunday, which is, yeah, that's normal, right? Because we plan on living until we're 95. You know? But for you and I, tomorrow is not promised. We don't know tomorrow. And I tell you, one of the things, not everybody, but one of the things some people are afraid of is death. You know, that's why people do a lot of things to try to stay young. It doesn't matter what you do, how you eat. We're getting old. We're dying. I am in the same boat, okay? This week we traveled. We did a lot of travels. I'm like, man, that was a long week to travel, you know, with everything with church. It's like, man, I felt mentally, physically, emotionally tired. I'm like, man, what happened to me? I used to drive 9 hours and I can get up again and drive 5 hours like Ryan. I can't do that anymore. You know? Tomorrow is not promised, guys. But there's one thing we can do for death is to prepare for it. That's the only thing we can do. But how do we prepare for death? It says here, we believe that Christ died for all, so we also believe that all who died, or we also believe that we all have died to our old life. Now, this verse is in the context of someone who is born again. How are you born again? Repent of your sin, accepted Jesus as your Lord. That's how it starts. Okay? And then verse 15, I read it again. It says, he died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Verse 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. We have stopped judging, looking at people. Now we're talking about from a newborn perspective, someone who is a believer. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, verse 17 says, this means anyone that is in Christ, who is in Christ, you become a new person. That's why I tell you, one of the hardest things we deal with, sometimes it's a lot easier to forgive other people. I mean, it's a lot easier to forgive other people than forgive yourself. I don't know, if you're like me, sometimes you hold your past against you. It's like you always remember, and you've got the enemy. Hey guys, welcome, good to see you, you beautiful family. You know, it's a lot easier to let go. I'm saying it's not easy, but it's a lot easier to let go of someone's past than your own past. But also, we have the tendency to hold people's past against them. And on top of it, we have the accuser of the brethren. Satan, you know what he does? He accuses. Man, I love it. I remember when one of my mentors told me this. He's like, Ricardo, you never assume. Every time you assume, you're making an ass out of yourself. You know, I mean, some people say, man, I can't believe he said ass. I know what you're thinking. We are thinking it, but we never say it. I'm not cursing or anything, but it's stupid to assume. It's stupid to make drastic decision on assumption. And sometimes, like it says here, Paul says, I have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. And I tell you, if us Christians, followers of Jesus, if we're real, we would stop judging people. Because God's right now is not judging anybody. It's God's love that leads our hearts to repentance. You know, sometimes we are so on fire and eager to tell people the truth. We want them to get it, but we forgot. Right now, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. While we were yet in our mess, he loves us. And that's what you need to get. You need to understand that you, me and I, we can come to God the way we are. You know how many times the enemy wants to keep us away from God? And think about it. If you're like me in my past experience, when I'm not doing good spiritually, guess what I want to do? I want to run away. I want to stay away from people who could challenge me to get closer to God. I don't want to be in a community. You know, my mentors, I just close the door to them. Paul used to see Christ from a human point of view. He was a Pharisee. That's why we need a personal revelation to follow Jesus. You need a personal revelation. Paul says, how differently we know Christ now. And then, of course, I repeat again, verse 17. It says, if anyone belongs to Christ, that person has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God. Nothing you can do to earn God's grace. It has been a gift from God who brought us back to himself. How? Through Christ. This should make you happy. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message telling you, guess what, guys? If you are in Christ, I mean, God made it possible so you could come to him. When I read the Bible, I find out that salvation can only come through Jesus, the cross, resurrection. It's not enough. You said it. It's not enough to say, oh, surely this man was a man of God. Can you testify that Jesus is the Lord? Do you have a personal revelation? This is a beautiful day. You know, a lot of families are together. You know, some of you, we honor your presence here. We're glad that you choose to come and worship Jesus with us. But please take it to heart, what we're telling you now. Do you know Jesus? And for those of us who come here week in and week in out, let's get deeper in our fear of the Lord. Listen to what it says in verse 18. It says, and all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of what? Reconciliation. So God gave me a task. What is my task? To reconcile people to him. And it says, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering of our sin, so that we could be made right with God. There's something David Wilkinson says, I really like it. It says, when you talk about the resurrection, it starts with one word. It's not confidence. It's not charisma. It's not control. It's dependency. And now let me repeat that again. This is a quote from one of his books. He said, when we talk about the resurrection, you know, one thing about us Christian dying, when we die and when we die, we'll live again. 97 years on earth, you cannot compare it to eternity. Jesus conquered the grave. Guess not only his grave, he also conquered my grave. So that's why we're not afraid of dying physically. But he said resurrection starts with one word. And that one word is not confidence. It's not being charismatic. It's not control. But it is dependency. And when you read the Bible, Jesus did nothing without being dependent on Father. Yes. And I tell you, if you guys like me, in our American mind, man, we all want to be independent. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. Let me break it to you again. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. It's like you come and you give him all your will. The good thing is he's a good king. You know, when Jesus comes, he says, I come to give you life, life to its fullness. Let me tell you, it's religious people that make the gospel boring. Religious people make the gospel so, I mean, it's a lukewarm Christians are the worst advertisement for the gospel. Lukewarm Christians. But man, when you have this beautiful encounter with Jesus, you're living daily. Actually, Kendra told me there's a book she's reading. She read a quote to me the other day. I said, hang on, tell me that again. I'm going to use that quote. He says, the more you daily live for Jesus shows just how deeply committed you are to him. Amen. You see, how many times we serve God when it's convenient? When it's, you know, it's like it's, I'm tired, I'm not going. I don't like this, I'm not doing it. The more you daily live your life for Christ shows how deeply committed you are in following him. Lukewarmness. Maybe you already have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you know about Jesus. Maybe today you're here because somebody invited you and you wanna be honorable, you know, honor them. That's great. That's awesome. But seize this opportunity to do a self-examination. If I die today, where will I go? Jesus is offering salvation. When I read the Bible, I realize that, yes, salvation comes through him. Nothing we can do. He paid for my crime. He paid for my guilt. And I tell you, kick the enemy in his teeth. Kick him. Get out. Get away from me, Satan. You can do this. Get away from me. I keep having this this vision. I had a dream. I told you guys, I had a dream that a demon came to attack me. I was sleeping, and I saw the demon comes in. I slap him. That's what we need to do with our demons sometimes. We need to, you know, sometimes a demon might not come in the form of a demon or a person. It comes in the form of a thought. You start thinking negative thoughts about people. That can be a demon too. Because Satan comes to do three things: to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, the first thing he wants to steal your peace. When you don't have peace, you don't sleep at night. When he brings you crazy anxiety that affects your heart, it goes down the line. Of course, if you have anxiety, you don't have peace, that's gonna affect your heart. It's gonna affect your liver. You know, I mean, there's another thing, bitterness. It wants you to be easily offended. Easily offended. That cannot be in the house of the Lord. When I read the Bible, I realize, yes, Jesus took care of our guilt on the cross. But also, when I read the Bible, and I just read that verse to you, I realize that if anyone put their trust in Jesus, that person will change. Just like the butterfly and the caterpillar. You have to change. You will change if you're truly in Christ. Now, if you are in Christ, and before you were in Christ, you're a liar, a cheater. A liar, a cheater, a hypocrite. Someone who just hate others. Someone who just can't forgive. You carry bitterness in your heart. You carry anger. You're always angry at people. You're always angry at situations. Before you met Christ, you were like that. And then you say, I have Christ, and you still like that? Question. Please repent. Because if anyone is in Christ, when I read the Bible, I realize if anyone is in Christ, you change. New creation. And you know what? It's the seed of the Holy Spirit that's within you. Oh, I remember in my life, man, I remember when I used to do crazy things. And I read the Bible, I'm like, the Bible was just like convicted me. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. And then what do? You repent. You want to be blessed? You live a life in radical obedience for the Lord. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 3. It says, yes, everything else is worthless. Paul talks about, it says, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. We all want Jesus, right? Amen? We all want Jesus. But do we want to become one with him? Oh, yes, I do. What does that mean? For me to identify with Christ, I have to identify with his cross. I mean, just think about it. Deny yourself? Who does that? Jesus did. I always tell people, if anybody has excuses to talk bad about the church, I do. People misjudge me, misread me, lie about me. And sometimes people you're helping with pure motives, they say crazy things. Do I get mad? Yeah. Do I want to quit? Yeah. Do I hate them for a little bit? Yes. But do I carry that? No. Do I forgive him? Yes. I fought with it, but I do. You see, that's the thing. Sometimes you think your pastor or your so-called teacher, prophet, we're not in heaven yet. The same thing you struggle with is the same thing we struggle with. But one thing we do we should be mature people who doesn't give a foothold to the devil. I'm not in heaven yet. As a matter of fact, if I'm not careful, you make it, I'll miss it. That's why I believe what God's doing, there's no place in his church to be playing superstar. If there's a superstar, it's Jesus. It's no pastor. It's no worship leader. It's no teacher. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the superstar. Because if he doesn't do his work within me first, it's the head. If your head's screwed up, man, I tell you, your life is screwed up. If you're screwed up in your thoughts, in your mind, you're in danger. But when you're healthy in your mind, your whole body will benefit from it. Verse 9 from Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, I count it all garbage, what, to gain Christ, become one with him. I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depend on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Oh, when I read this, I'm like, yes, Lord, I want that. I want to know Christ. I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer. Hang on, Paul. What? Who likes to suffer? And let me tell you this. If you're serious, if you are for real in following Jesus, you won't be famous. You shouldn't be famous. The gospel is a tough man thing. You have to deny yourself. If you come to Jesus thinking he's going to make everything's going to be all right in Christ, really, go ask the apostles. Stone them, burn them, boil them. Hang them. They all died. Apostle John was the only one that kind of died of old age because it wasn't the will of God for him to die. They actually boiled him. They fried him in oil. He wouldn't die. My brothers and sisters, I pray today, this is your heart's cry, that you would want to be like Christ. You would want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Would you be willing to suffer with him? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. To suffer with him? Would you be willing to suffer with him? Would you be willing to share in his death? Oh, resurrection day. He is risen. Hallelujah. Hang on. Glory to God. But do you know what happened before he is risen? He was dead. Are we willing to die to ourselves? Am I? I said, yes, Lord. I'm willing to die to my pride. I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to allow you to change my mind. I'm willing to stop being stubborn. You know stubborn? What stubborn is? Someone who is set in his way. I'm willing to allow the word of God to change my mind. I don't know, maybe you have a Bible or you don't have a Bible, but I'd say you start reading the Bible. Start reading the Word of God. This is not just a religious book. And I told you at the beginning, there's this one verse that terrifies me and it should terrify all of us. It is Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We all go to funeral, and then during the memorial service, everybody's talking about he's at a better place, she's at a better place. Well, how do you know they're at a better place? Unless you die in Christ, you're not at a better place. I know, I get it. We all want our loved one who passed on to be at a better place. But for you to prepare your better place, it's today. Right now, right here. If you want to be at a better place, this is our chance. Open our hearts to be like, oh, Jesus, just come in. Lord, even right now, you know, let's all say that again. Let's all close our eyes. Father, Lord Jesus, come in. You can just pray that under your breath. If you mean it, later on you can find somebody say, you know what? I made a decision today to let the King of Kings in. Lord Jesus, come in. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for making it possible for us to become sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, for paying the ultimate price so we could be forgiven of our sin. Give us today grace to continue to live for you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me that on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? Did in your name we drive out demons? In your name we perform miracles? And I would add, in your name we led worship. In your name we taught Sunday school. In your name, God, we went on mission trips. In your name, God, I give $50,000 a year for mission. And then the Lord says, hang on. I never knew you. You see, this word knew you is, in Greek, is ginosko, which means deep intimacy. You know, sometimes different artists, you know, singers, you know, like, I'm going to use, like, Messi, for those of you guys who watch soccer. For football, it could be one of your most wonderful player in your team. The way we talk about that player, the way we follow the player, it's like we develop this relationship with the player because you know all about the player. Let me remind you again. The player doesn't know you exist. We buy their t-shirt. We wear their numbers. Some people even go, they got a tattoo with their name on. I mean, it's like we go all in thinking, man, this player is like my idol. You have this intimacy with the player. They don't. You know, when you go in deep and study this verse, the word no, Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. Me and you, we never had a relationship. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? That's why I said, a lukewarm Christian is a worse advertisement for the kingdom. Because they say something that their action denies. In the church, in God's house, there are certain things that we shouldn't even mention. It shouldn't be part in God's house. I never knew you. You never understood me. You never give me a chance. That's the word. That's the definition of the word. And it says, away from me, you evildoers. You who commit iniquity. And then you know what? When you study the word iniquity, iniquité, that's one word that when you go deep into it, it reveals sometimes sins we inherit from our parents. You know, different things we inherit from our parents. You know, because I remember in my own family, when I met Jesus, I'm like, hang on, none of my cousins are talking to each other. Because I love my family. I'm like, what's going on here? They all hate each other. So the light came on for me. I'm like, okay, there is a stronghold in the family where it's like dog eat dogs. They all hate each other. None of my cousins, you know, I'll be with this cousin. I was like, well, let's go see so-and-so. No, I don't talk to so-and-so. I'm like, why? Over stupid nonsense stuff. That's a stronghold. I got it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to break that. Amen. I broke it. I said, well, man, for me, I'm going to be friend with all my cousins. I'm going to talk about things. And then I start kind of try to be a peacemaker. Be like, man, guys, this is the plan of the enemy. This whole thing about dog eat dog, you know, we hate each other. And I said it, and I'm going to repeat it. When it comes to me, my wife, my daughter, my son, God give them to me. I didn't choose them. So I'm not going to let their political view divide us. That's maturity. Or if you want to vote for this donkey over there, and I want to vote for this mule over here, guess what? That's kind of dumb to become enemy over that. God give us each other. God give me my kids. My dad, as terrible of a person he could be, I didn't choose him. God give him to me. My mom, praise God for her. I didn't choose her. You see the mindset? Kingdom mindset. But now, as my kids go and get married, they have to choose, their mate has to choose them. You see the choice? And then she's gonna leave us and cling to their mates and create their family. And then what God's gonna give them together, which like children, that's God's gift to them. Are you with me? Depart from me, I never knew you. There's a great invitation today to know God deeper. Know Him intimately. I mean, you all know me as your pastor and your friend. I want to know each of you. Most of you, I know where you live. And I know some of you don't like when I just show up to show up. But I was like, all right, when Jesus comes, that's how He's going to come. But I get it. Sometimes I say, hey, I'm going to stop and see you. Are you home? Why do I do that? Intimacy. Because really, if you see me here on Sunday, on prayer time, in my office, you don't know me. You know when you know me? When I go have tea with you. I stop at your house. We go do life together. And that's what kills the church. That's why some people are like, well, I don't want this. Because these people, they just go for a service. It's more than a service, friends. If anyone is in Christ, you become a new creation. You know, and I'm going to continue next week. Because next week I'm going to talk about the other side of Matthew chapter 7. Choosing the narrow road. What happened when we lukewarm? Does anybody likes warm tea? No. We like what? Hot tea or cold tea? See, we don't want warm tea. This morning, if you warm, be careful. The Lord will spit you out of His mouth. You know, but God wants you to be cold. You're cold for Him, or you're hot for Him. I say, let's come back together next week to learn more about that. How about that? Yeah? Amen? Let's stand. Father God, we thank You, Lord. Thank You for Easter. Thank You for Your word, Father. Lord, I trust that today You, and I know You were in our midst. Father, I thank You for each of Your sons and Your daughters that was here, who were here today. Lord, as we go forth from this place, thank You for Your presence. Thank You for forgiveness. Would you say that with me? Thank You, Lord, for forgiveness. Let's say that again. Thank You, Jesus, for forgiveness. Thank You for Your peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, I pray that You would go before us today. Thank You for the gospel. Thank You for teaching us that it's more than just a meeting. It's not religion. It's a relationship we have with You that transformed us into a new person. We love You, Father. I pray today, as we continue to live the resurrection, that Your name would be glorified in everything we do and say, that Your kingdom would come in everything we do.